Welcome to the bonus Q&A for episode 108.
Hi.
We are in March.
Yes.
Things are happening.
Birthday month for you.
It is my birthday month.
That's exciting. You don't really like to celebrate birthday month, but I am.
Well,
a
month is a long time. It's hard to keep the party going for a month.
It's not, actually.
Oh.
You should be partying now. Are you?
What should I do?
Everything.
Like what?
Eat all your favorite things, indulge, do all the things that you want to do. You just do that every day, don't you? Every day is your
I mean, I just
month.
Do that, yeah. That's what you can do when you're an adult.
You know how in Alice in Wonderland they say you have 364 unbirthdays?
Oh, yeah, the unbirthdays. Happy unbirthday
Happy
to you.
Happy unbirthday right. to you. So you can just do that all year, and then you won't have to worry about your birthday.
Maybe that's what's happening here.
All right.
Do you ever think of that?
I don't
Not
know.
Not so smart
I
now,
think
are you?
I like birthdays, and I like celebrating
I
your birthday.
I know you really like birthdays.
This is really tangential anyways. Questions?
Let's start with a very practical question from the Keggers. Hello, Kit and Krista. Will spoiler casts always be centered around topical games or games that came out recently, or do you have plans to dive into older games too? Any retro games you would like to do a spoiler cast for?
Ooh, I love this idea. For now, I think we were thinking, you know, really big, narrative-driven topical games are good for spoiler casts, just for the nature and the away the spoiler cast is structured, but that does not rule out the possibility of diving into older games. I was thinking, like, there's definitely games that you and I have missed that we haven't played yet. Like, I haven't played a lot of Metal Gear, and I haven't played a lot of Mass Effect, for example, so I could see us diving into that for a spoiler cast just to, like, catch up on it. Another thing that I was thinking about is, like, when and if when Metroid Prime 4 actually decides to get released, it's never going to happen, but when it does, it would be fun to do like a spoiler cast kind of looking back.
Other
on,
M?
No.
Back to Other M? Why
no.
not?
Just looking back on the franchise, because sometimes you like missed some stuff.
Right.
Like you can do like a whole like the timeline of Metroid like spoiler cast. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just kind of happened by coincidence that the first couple of months that we're doing this, there's these big, you know, story-focused games.
Yeah.
And after that, I mean, I haven't looked at, like, new releases for, I guess that would be April.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we noted, like, the new releases do start to slow down
yeah.
at some point mid-year. So, yeah, we're definitely open to this, and we probably will do this. And if there's any games that are of interest, definitely let us know.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But, yeah, it's definitely not, like, locked to the game of the month or new releases or anything like that. It is an interesting year for us, though, you know, being Nintendo-focused, but there not being a lot of Nintendo releases necessarily. So
a bit hard to do a spoiler cast on the recent Nintendo games, unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Can't really do a spoiler cast on like Princess Peach Showtime or Mario versus Donkey Kong, unfortunately.
Exactly.
But we definitely are going to block our calendar for sure once we know the launch time for Paper Mario.
Yes, that'll for sure
Year
be
Door
one. Yeah.
Will definitely be one because that's when I can't wait to do a spoiler cast on because you haven't played it.
No.
And I want to go back to it terribly, desperately. So yeah, if there's any other suggestions of games you guys want to see a spoiler cast on, like, let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our next question is from Sakura Blossom. Just about Sakura Blossom time, actually.
I really like your username, Sakura
yeah.
Blossom. It's so pretty.
I feel with so many games these days taking years, sometimes 3 to 10+ to make, shorter quality games are not being prioritized by so many first parties. It seems these are being left for indie devs. I feel not every game has to be open world 100-hour experience. I hope Nintendo finds a way to incorporate smaller games like old WiiWare or eShop titles. Other AAA companies could learn the same, in my opinion, to pad the time between the huge releases. I'd take a bite-sized Bowser's Fury any day. It could also be a way to explore a new IP with less losses if they failed. Thoughts? So yeah, we were actually just talking. We have a special guest for next week who I will not reveal
yeah.
it right now, but they were mentioning that it's somebody who is in games media, and they were saying, you know, I really used to like being able to explore with Nintendo these smaller releases,
mm-hmm.
and they mentioned Box Boy and Dylan's Rolling Western,
mm-hmm.
and noted, you know, Nintendo
Street Pass games,
right? Nintendo doesn't really make those kinds of experiences anymore. They're not all the way to Sony, where everything is as big as possible, but that kind of mid to lower size game just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I really miss it, actually. There's a magic to having those types of games. It definitely fills sort of a release calendar when you need time between huge games. It also gives, like, another kind of developer within a bigger company to tell their story and share, you know, their vision for something like that. Like, it was so interesting to learn about, like, the making of Box Boy, for example. Like, such a simple but unique and fun game with people that developed it that had a very interesting vision. But, yeah, I really hope that they don't kind of completely forget about that genre as they focus on competing in, like, the AAA game space. Because as we saw, you know, like, that is absolutely not sustainable and really causes a lot of problems as you kind of live on borrowed time. And it can cause, like, a lot of issues later with, you know, what we're seeing right now with big layoffs and studios having to cancel projects and things like that. So I hope that there's going to be more of a balance between different size games from Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a smaller version of that live service question where, you know, everybody wants to get into live service games, but, like, you honestly can only play one or two at a time. It's, like, kind of the same thing with when a game is 100 hours long. You can't load up and be like, well, I'm going to juggle these 300-hour games. Like, you just can't do that. Mm-hmm. So it is sad when some game, you know, is like the odd game out and just is not going to find an audience because it's stacked up against all these other ones. And I feel like that's definitely what's happening right now where, you know, a lot of people are into Final Fantasy, but, like, we just streamed Unicorn Overlord, which seemed like a cool game, but it's like, this game might really have a hard time finding an audience because it's just too many big games.
Yeah.
So I agree. It's like these companies are kind of min-maxing, like, what they do to, like, get the best result, but I don't think it's necessarily that easy.
Yeah, yeah. And they have limited resources and just, you know, they have to pick and choose, like, how to divide those up. And I think a lot of the times I feel like companies feel pressure to compete in that AAA space. Like, we have to, as a big publisher, we have to make these huge games or else no one's going to take us seriously. But I think that's a really bad mentality. And yeah. I hope that people don't get, like, locked into that because it's not sustainable. You know,
yeah, so. I mean, there are some, like Devolver is kind of like, you know, a big indie publisher where those games are kind of, you know, they're big name indies, but in the scope of all the games that are out there, like, they're not competing with Final Fantasy VII.
Right, right.
So, like, that's kind of a smart place to be. I wonder if more companies would, like, identify that as, like, a market inefficiency and be like, let's go here because there's not a lot of competition and we can really stand out.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul Gale's next. Hey, Kit and Krista, what's a game that at one time was in development but never saw completion that you would have loved to have become reality? Here are some of mine. Perfect Dark for Nintendo GameCube, Street Fighter 3 on Nintendo 64, and Tekken Cross Street Fighter for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. So games that got canceled before they came out.
Project Giant Robot.
No, that's a total lie.
That's such a lie. Games that got canceled. Well, I was really disappointed when I saw that they canceled that Mandalorian Star Wars game. I was really bummed out because we've been talking about this for a long time, and I'm not even, like, a huge, like, I didn't watch Star Wars that much as a kid, but I really got in, like, with this new sort of set of Star Wars things, and the Mandalorian's definitely, like, a favorite, and we were saying that it's basically a game already. Like, you're going on quests. And you're getting items to upgrade your armor. So, like, it kind of writes itself almost. So it was just a bummer to have sort of a perfect sort of translation into a video game canceled before you even saw the light of day. So that's pretty sad.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, stories out there about, like, Respawn projects. So there's that. And then, like, there have been some little details about Titanfall 3.
Which I would have loved,
but yeah, it seems like they're really, you know, EA's not letting them do that, so that's a shame because that sounded really promising. The one I always go back to is Mega Man Legends 3, which kind of hurt for multiple reasons. Like, first of all, this was very early on the 3DS eShop when, like, there was nothing, so it was nice to look forward to a substantial game to kind of like show like, yes, this service has promise and people will want to make games for it. So that hurt. You know, B, it just, you know, it's Mega Man, so I'm interested in anything that. And then yeah. C, like, I'll be honest, the Mega Man Legends series specifically is a bit, in terms of Mega Man, is not one that I know that much. And those games have become kind of hard to track down. So I was like, okay, this could be a, you know, just a solid entry point mm-hmm. into this, you know, different side of Mega Man. So that was just a huge bummer all around. And what is Capcom doing with Mega Man right now? I don't know. Maybe finish that game and release it. Do something, yeah, please. Yeah,
Mega Man has really fallen to the wayside, unfortunately. But it's still, like, so prominent in when Capcom shows off, like, their legacy. And when right. whenever they talk about, like, an anniversary right, or something right. like that, Mega Man is always there.
He's kind of like a mascot where he doesn't yes. really have a game, but he's always out there.
But that's not fair. Like, what if Mario becomes that? People would be riot.
It's like Mickey Mouse. Like, you know, Disney does not really do a lot of Mickey Mouse stuff.
Like cartoons or other media, yeah.
But it's you know, he's always front and center. So yeah. that's a strange one.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Ninja 11 asks, "Hi Kit and Krista, we know Reggie is fond of his many memes, with one big notable exception, but what about other Nintendo figureheads? After working with them for so long, do you know how Miyamoto, Bill, Sakurai, Doug, and others feel about their memes?"
What is the big exception?
The shiny chin?
Oh. He didn't care about that.
He didn't care. No.
But yes, he didn't. He definitely was like very... very chill when it came to what the internet was saying about him, and he didn't take him anything yeah, too seriously. Yeah. But the others, let's see. Bill was definitely like very, very much seeing the memes as they happen, because he was also, he's not so active anymore, but he used to be pretty active on Twitter and other social channels.
Well, he's very online. I mean, he's not necessarily posting all the
right,
time.
Right, right, right. That's what I mean. Yeah.
But he's prowling around.
He's prowling, and so right. he's seeing it. So and I don't think he's mad at them. He quite enjoys them, I think. There's some really funny Bill ones where
the donuts. You know,
Reggie fires him multiple right, times. Right, he right. shakes the tree. Mm-hmm. Like, all those things made him laugh, and he enjoyed, I think, the people's reaction to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Miyamoto, I'm not sure he's like super aware of the memes about him, unless somebody in Japan is like spoon feeding him, right. like, hey, look at this meme, ha-ha.
Right, right.
He's just kind of like in his own little world.
I
know?
Agree, right.
And he just does things that he enjoys. I think he knows that people associate him with certain things, like certain moments, you know, like him, you know, holding up the sword,
right.
Announcing games on stage. Like, he knows those moments are kind of iconic, but he's not, like, out there looking at memes, you know? And I would say Sakurai is even more removed from that. Like, he again, is another one that's just like, I just do my own thing, and I live in my own little world.
He does occasionally acknowledge it, though, in his videos.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I think if you're going to do anything, like, where you're going to be in front of a camera, like, you kind of have to... Mm-hmm. know you're signing up for that sort of thing right. and be okay with it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people at Nintendo who are like, I never want to be on camera, so right. please never suggest me to do this. And they don't. It's like nobody's arm is getting twisted to do something on camera,
no,
which I think is for the best. But yeah, everybody yeah. kind of knows and like has fun with it. Like Nate Bildorf, when he was at that DICE where Nintendo won all those awards, he's like, I'm the Nintendo guy, and he really like played that up, and that like became a thing,
right? Right.
So yeah, I think everybody knows like what they're getting into, and is got kind of a good natured
exactly.
attitude
yeah.
about it.
That's why they did it anyway, you know. Why, I mean, if Bill didn't want everyone to laugh at him disgustingly shoving donuts in his mouth,
right.
he wouldn't have done it.
Or like when they did that 1-2 like JC eating the sandwich. Like
yeah.
they were playing that up.
Right.
For sure, for
effect. I will say, and I won't name any names because I don't want to out them and be really mean, but I will say, like, there were some people that were, like, meme seekers or internet fame seekers at Nintendo and would try to do things, just kind of be extra to get memed in instances because, you know, some people wanted to be well-known and wanted, like, the internet fame. Mm. So they would take opportunities to, like, try to get that kind of notoriety or whatever. And that always just kind of like, it feels a little icky. It's like, it's not authentic because it's like, you know, these moments, obviously they were scripted to be funny, but Reggie's not out there like, hey, write me a joke so I can become a meme. Like, he's not out there like doing stuff like that. But there was definitely some people that were very much like, I'm going to volunteer to do this. I'm going to ham it up so I can become a meme and get like that, you know, Nintendo fame.
Right, right, right.
And that always felt a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Riven asks, how much time do you two spend these days just hanging out and not talking about things related to the Kit and Kristen media empire? Has the answer to this question changed since you began the podcast?
We hang out. We definitely hang out.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a realization, like, once we started doing this, it was like, it is in our best interest to maintain a positive relationship.
Oh.
Because you don't want to be like these people who are like, you know, it's like a small business, or it's like, well,
it's like, oh, I have to work, you know, with this person.
So and so. Like, yeah, they started this, but they don't really talk to each other anymore. They hate each other. They can't be in the same room together.
Oh, wow. It's that's
like
dramatic.
It's like, but you do hear like a lot of stories about that, of like longtime collaborators.
Really?
Where they just become like really sick of each other.
Oh, no.
So.
I'm not sick of you.
Yeah, we did have like that realization of like, no, we should, you know, make sure that we're, you know, talking about things that are more than just our work and not being so just like minutia laser focused on that,
yeah,
that it like sours,
true,
you know, the relationship that brought us here.
Yeah, even little things. Like we will 100% take a coffee break every single day.
We have a question about coffee break later. Do not scoop that.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
But I was just going to say, like, there are little things in your day that you can do to maintain like good balance between friendship and work.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we'll hang out. We hang out with other Nintendo friends too very regularly. Like, we're planning a dinner right now with everybody. So we'll do things like that.
Right.
And then like when we go on trips together, like, we don't film everything. We're like, you know, hanging out and like, you know, being tourists in places and
right,
stuff like that.
Right.
So we'll definitely do that too. So
has the answer to the question changed since you began the podcast? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say it's about the same.
Yeah. And before we had our office, now that we're in an office, we, you know, it was hard to, we would film every day, or I'm sorry, one day a week. And then we would have like, you know, daily meetings, but we'd be in video conference
right,
a lot.
Right.
Now we're able to like be in the same space and like work more efficiently. So I think that's been good for our like, both working and non, just like our friendship, because it's like, now we'll take breaks and we'll like do like something silly. Like
easier to have some little chit chat or watch a Macho Man video.
We watched
video.
The Macho Man videos the other day after talking about the wrestlers.
Right.
We'll like, sometimes we'll like take a little break and like look at a game together or, So yeah, it's been much easier now because that's what we used to do at Nintendo. So we had our desks like right next to each other, right? Our offices were right next to each other. And we'd work throughout the day, but we would like take coffee breaks or go out to lunch together or like take a break and watch funny YouTube videos. So now it feels more like that. So it's kind of nice.
Yes. The Natrix asks, hey, Kit and Krista, what were your favorite cartoons growing up? I know for Kit, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is surely one of them, but are there any others? Also, were you partial to any channels, such as Cartoon Network over Nickelodeon? So here's an example. So you were just showing me something from Sailor Moon?
Yeah, we were playing Princess Peach Showtime, and I was like, oh my gosh, the transformation when she like transformed into her little costumes, it reminded me of the Sailor Moon transformation. And I was like, you were like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I just stared at you blankly.
I don't know what that looks like. So you never watched Sailor Moon. And I was showing you what it looked like.
Yeah.
And it was because, like, I guess it was on a network that you didn't really watch as a kid, huh?
Well, no, I think it is. So we have an age difference.
Yeah.
And I think in between that age difference, like, they started showing, like, anime on some of these channels, and I think maybe by then I had sort of aged out of watching that stuff.
Oh, like the after-school cartoons.
Right, so I don't have any recollection of a time where anime was shown.
Yeah.
Because like when people are like, oh, I was always watching Dragon Ball.
Yeah,
like,
that's the same channel.
Where the heck was Dragon Ball?
Yeah, Dragon Ball, it was Dragon Ball, Inuyasha.
Ranma
and one half. Yeah, and Sailor Moon were on the same channel.
I mean, but It was so hard to get anime.
Yeah.
Like, it is so...
It was hard.
And compared to, like, how it is now.
Oh, my God. Like, you had so many options.
Like, you'd have to go to Japantown and go to a special place that had these tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
hope they had the right one and all this. And there's, like, this whole to-do where you had to buy one and have it mailed to you
from... Oh, it's horrible.
Overseas or something like that. It's, like, impossible.
Yeah, now you can just watch Crunchyroll all day. And
right.
Like, 1,001 anime.
Right. So I just completely missed... all of that.
But you watch, like, Disney Channel after school, right?
The Disney Afternoon. Mm-hmm. I was, again, I'm not the hugest Disney fan, but I was deep into all of that.
Darkwing Duck.
For sure. I like Tailspin. Right.
Goof Troop.
Yeah.
Those are really, really good.
Chip and Dale.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Yeah. So good.
All the ones they turned into video games, you know?
Yeah, yes.
Right.
Excuse me.
What's going on here?
I choked on my own spit because I got excited about...
It's disgusting.
Rescue Rangers. I loved Nickelodeon as a kid, too. I watched it a lot of, like, Doug and Rugrats. And what else was there? Ren and Stimpy?
Well, that's the one that I got into later on. And I remember watching that, like, kind of with my mom in the same room.
It's really gross.
She would be, like, reading a book or something. And occasionally she would, like, something would get her attention. Mm-hmm. And she would, like, raise an eyebrow and look at it. And then go back to reading her book.
Yeah.
Like, they were definitely pushing some boundaries.
They were pushing some boundaries,
like, they would show,
sure.
like, a bare butt of, like, he would bend over and you'd see his butt.
Yeah.
Or
there's a lot of, like
that.
Gross things, like you know, the litter box.
Right.
Or, like, the hair balls
right.
are, like, really gross.
But it would also get sometimes very abstract or very dark in ways that other car, like I still really do like Ren and Stimpy
good.
A lot.
Yeah. Really good. I feel like I should rewatch them a bit. I also liked Rocko's Modern Life, which they should bring back 100%. And there was another one. I feel like it was another like Nickelodeon one that I really liked. Oh, Hey Arnold was very good.
I missed that one.
That one was good because it had Jim Lane was the guy that did it. And it had, like, the best jazz soundtrack.
Oh.
It was so amazing. And I was like, this is a cartoon for, like, adults. Like, this is not for kids.
Huh.
Like, it feels very mature. But, yeah, that was really good, too.
And obviously The Simpsons, we both watched a lot of
that. Oh, yeah. I still watch, like, on background TV, watch The Simpsons.
What is the season where you stopped watching The Simpsons?
I think probably, like, season, like, 12 or 13.
I mean, they're up to, like, 30-something seasons. So
like, the first 10 seasons of The Simpsons is, like... pure classic gold. Like, it best, some of the best, I feel like, cartoon, like, you know, animated shows ever.
Right.
Like, that first 10 seasons was, they're so, it's so iconic. Like, those episodes, so, so good. And now I'm back on my X-Men binge.
Oh.
Because I started rewatching all the X-Men cartoons, which is so good and it still holds up so well. I also like the old, like, Batman cartoons.
The animated series?
The Batman animated series is so good. And then Gargoyles is also really good. Those are
Gargoyles?
Those are all on HBO now. So,
really?
Or Max or whatever it is.
Hmm.
And I watch them now and I'm like, God, we are so spoiled as kids to get such, like, amazing animated shows that were, like, such well-written stories. Like, oh, these stories are so good. I was, like, so shocked at how well they held up, you know? So...
In high school, my school implemented this kind of, like, school message board thing.
Oh.
Which maybe was not the best idea. And I remember I got into this argument with this guy who was several years younger than me about The Simpsons. And it became, it was like... That era's equivalent of debate me.
Oh.
Because somehow, it's like,
me.
We will settle our beef with a Simpsons trivia contest.
Oh, I can go all day.
Which I won.
Of course.
I don't think I could do that today, because, again, the Simpsons trivia expands, like, more decades than I have not kept up with.
I went to this one Simpsons trivia, like, pretty recently, like, within the last year.
Oh.
And they only do it up to the first 10 seasons, which is the parts of the Simpsons that I know.
Mm.
And that's really fun.
They know what age bracket is going to
this
place.
They know which millennial age bracket is going. And they do this thing where they, like, do three rounds of trivia. And then they show a Simpsons, you know, episode in between each round. And it's very fun. And it's like, some of the questions were so hard, though.
Oh, yeah.
And some of these teams got nearly, like, all the answers correct. And I was
wow.
But I was not last. So I felt pretty good about that.
You're competing by yourself?
No, my group.
Your team?
My team,
okay, good. Last question from Link, the aforementioned coffee break question. The coffee. What are your thoughts on office coffee breaks?
Uh-huh.
Were they common for you? How did you typically spend them?
Yes, there was some discourse about coffee breaks in the chat, in the Discord, I saw.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Oh, I may have missed that.
So that I think this is where this question stemmed from. There was a question about, like, how do you spend coffee breaks? Do you go with your coworkers on coffee breaks? Is it weird to ask a coworker to go grab a coffee?
I see.
Or is it okay?
Yeah.
And I think Link, the hero wins, was saying that usually coffee breaks for you was like a gossip time, you know?
Right, right.
And that was 100% what it was for us. But yes, we are very into coffee breaks.
Yes.
You taught me this.
We would go...
As the Swedish person.
Yes, in Sweden they have a cultural phenomenon called fika, F-I-K-A.
Yes.
Which is, you know, celebrating basically a coffee break. And you take a break from working and you go decompress and you go chat with your coworkers.
Where's that fika book?
And then you have it.
Oh, I have
it. One of us has a book about it. And it's a very nice little tradition. So we did that. And we did that twice a day, morning and afternoon.
Yeah. Now we only have one coffee.
We were drinking a lot of coffee back then. Jeez.
Well, I still have 2 cups of coffee a day.
Wired.
Do you have 2 cups of coffee a day right now?
I think I was drinking 3 then.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think that
that's a little much.
Started to become too much. So I'm back to 2.
2 is good.
But, yeah, it was great to just, you know, take a break from what you were doing and catch up and get out of your seat, get the blood flowing a little bit. Go. Mm-hmm. We had to walk all the way there to the side of the office. It wasn't a big office, but good to just get out there.
Yeah. Sometimes we even go out of the office, go get coffee.
Well, during the holidays, since we're aficionados of the Starbucks Red Cup.
We still do that.
I mean, we would try and go as much as possible to get these Red Cups, to be festive.
We still do that. We are walking distance now from a Starbucks in this office.
Once you even... So I do have some beef with Starbucks. They push the Red Cup hard. Like
they
on
do.
Social media, they're like, the season is here, get excited.
Red Cups are here.
So it's like, come to Starbucks for the Red Cup. And sometimes we will go after that point and they will hand you a white cup.
That's bad marketing.
Infuriating. And you.
False advertising.
We have even called the Starbucks hotline for some poor person to be on the receiving end of a rageful phone call about where
raging.
It. Do not promote a red cup if you are not prepared to give me a red cup.
I was very upset because they promoted the red cup and I went the next day together with you to go get my coffee and it was in a white cup and I was like, this is unacceptable to me. So I literally called their service line to yell at them. It was a little crazy. I did not get what I wanted. Did they give us anything?
No.
No, they didn't give us nothing because they didn't care. But yes, I am a fan of the coffee break. Like, we still take a true coffee break. Mm-hmm. We put away the computers for 10 minutes.
Right.
We make the coffee or we, like, walk to Starbucks or whatever. And we sit here and we, like, chat and have a coffee. Like, it's really nice. After a day of filming and working and doing all sorts of stuff, it's like you need to take a break, you know? It's like,
yes.
So I'm a proponent of this.
Highly recommend it. Yeah, there's some people who, like, their work style is, like, they get so locked in that, like, unless they get some sort of interruption, like, they will just go.
Yeah, till the end.
I'm not going to eat lunch. I'm just going to sit down and, like, be locked into this and be absorbed in this.
Oh, man.
And I don't know how healthy that is. So I always thought it was good to take a break and just, like, get a refresh your mind and be, you know, ready to start again.
Sometimes your eyes can just start to blur because you've been looking at the computer for so long or you've been, you know, doing the same task for such a long time, like, your brain is starting to get, like, addled from that, you know? And you need, like, a change of pace.
Yeah.
I got into a bad habit of not taking a break during the pandemic when I was by myself at home.
Oh.
Because there was nobody to, like, tap you on the shoulder and be like, hey, let's go get coffee.
Yeah.
Nobody to, like, help you get out of it. So you're just, like, zoned into this work. And it was not great.
Rough.
Yes. Take a coffee break, everyone.
Well, there you have it.
Yes.
Closing thoughts. For the bonus Q&A, closing thoughts for the week. Hope it was a nice one for you. And we will be back with more stuff next week.
Bye.
Bye.